Blandings, short stories by P.G. Wodehouse, adapted for radio by Richard Usborne. With Richard Vernon as Lord Emsworth, Lockwood West as Beach the Butler, and Margot Boyd as Lady Constance. This week, Pig Hooey.
The quiet village of Blandings Parver, in the lee of the great castle, became the scene of turmoil and violence yesterday evening when George Cyril Wellbeloved, Lord Emsworth's pre-eminent pigman, was arrested by his friend, Police Constable Albert Evans, in the Goat and Feathers public house for being drunk and disorderly. George Cyril Wellbeloved spent the rest of the night in the lock-up cell at the police station and today faces the majesty of a magistrate's court. George Cyril Wellbeloved is not looking or feeling his best. Those near to him would have been left in little doubt as to the nature of his work, and a night in the cells had neither improved the aroma of his calling or the hangover from the night before.
Silence in court. First case, your worships. George Cyril Wellbeloved, charged with being drunk and disorderly in the Goat and Feathers public house in Blandings Parva on the evening of July the 12th last. Police Constable Evans will give his testimony.
On the evening of July 12th, to wit last night, I was in the said Goat and Feathers, keeping a sharp lookout for miscreants. George Cyril Wellbeloved, aged 27, pigman to the Earl of Emsworth at Blandings Castle.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can we have another window open? Phew, it's stuffy in here. Thank you. Ask Wellbeloved to stand further away too, will you? Thank you. Please continue your evidence, Police Constable Evans.
It was acting like he had drink taken, and when remonstrated with, he resisted. He broke 2 pint glasses, a glass case containing a stuffed 25-pound pipe caught in the Castle Lake in 1925, and a hat stand.
You were drunk, Wellbeloved.
Yes, Your Honour, but... Your Honour, it was my birthday.
Oh, your birthday, was it? Hmm. Well, I see on the charge sheet that you gave your date of birth in December. It is now July, nor would a birthday be acceptable in law as an excuse. The law must take its course. Phew, are all the windows open? Oh. 14 days in prison without the option of a fine. Phew. Take the prisoner away. Oh, that's better.
2 weeks? His lordship's pigs woman like this?
You say, Lord Emsworth, that this fine pig hasn't touched her food for 48 hours? I can't understand.
But dash it, Smithers, you call yourself a veterinary surgeon. The finest pig I've ever owned, Empress of Blandings. Last year's prize winner in the fat pigs class at the Shrewsbury Agricultural Show and entered to win again in 10 days' time. She's always fed well. Never missed a day of her wolf layman diet. Why is she off her food now?
What does your pigman say, Lord Emsworth?
My pigman's in prison, silly ass. George Cyril Wellbeloved.
Oh.
Drunk and disorderly. 14 days without the option. Simmons, who's doing his job till he comes out, he can't get the Empress to come to her trough. I can't, and now you can't.
No, you'll just have to wait. She certainly looks fit enough and in good health. But if she's not feeding, you'll just have to wait.
Ah, let's go in and see if my pig books say anything about hunger strikes. Good day to you.
Chapter after chapter about feeding. Not a word about not feeding. Ah, Beach. Yes, my milk. Why does Lady Constance insist on my drinking this stuff every morning?
She thinks you should put on weight, my lord.
Me put on weight? With my prize pig losing weight every minute? Then I have to put it on? Ugh. Lady Constance doesn't worry about the Empress. She called her a great bag of snuffle and lard. Ah, Connie.
Clarence, an awful thing has happened.
Thank you, Beach. Leave the milk there. Now then, Connie, so you've heard. He's just told me.
What? Has he been here?
Left about 20 minutes ago.
Why did you let him go? You must have known I would want to see him.
What good could that have done?
I could at least have assured him of my sympathy.
Yes, I suppose you could. Not that he deserves any sympathy. The man's an ass.
Nothing of the kind. A most intelligent young man.
Would you call him young? 50, I'd have said. 50 if a day.
Are you out of your senses? Heacham, 50.
Not Heacham, Smithers, the vet.
Will you kindly tell me, Clarence, in a few simple words, what you think you're talking about?
I'm talking about Smithers. Smithers, the vet. Empress of Blandings is refusing her food, and Smithers says he can't do anything about it. We've got to wait. And he calls himself a vet.
Then you haven't heard, Clarence. A dreadful thing has happened. Angela has broken off her engagement to Heacham.
And the agricultural show on Wednesday week.
What has that got to do with it?
What has that got to do with it? My champion sire, with less than 10 days to prepare herself for a most searching examination on the show bench, in competition with all the finest pigs in the county, and she's refusing her food.
Will you stop maundering on about your insufferable pig and give attention to something that really matters? I tell you that Angela, your niece, Angela, has broken off her engagement to Lord Heacham and says she's going to marry that hopeless ne'er-do-well James Belford.
The son of old Belford, the parson?
Yes.
She can't. He's in America.
He's not in America. He's in London.
No, you're wrong. I remember meeting his father 2 years ago at the end of the road by Meeker's 20-acre field, and he distinctly told me the boy was sailing for America the next day. He must be there by this time.
Can't you understand? He's come back.
Come back? Oh, yes, I see. Come back.
You know, there was a silly sort of affair between him and Angela. But a year after he left, she became engaged to Lord Heacham. And I thought the whole thing with James Belford was over and done with. And now, it seems they met in London last week. And it has started all over again. She tells me she's written to Lord Heacham and broken the engagement.
We've tried everything. Acorns, skim milk, potato peel. But no, she won't touch them.
Oh, Clarence, really?
What? Oh, absurd, ridiculous, breaking an engagement. I'll have a word with that young man. If he thinks he can play fast and loose with my niece and jilt her without so much as a...
Clarence!
Hmm?
It is Angela who has broken off the engagement.
Oh, Angela.
She is infatuated with this man, Belford. And says she's going to marry him. What are we going to do about it?
Take a strong line. Stand no nonsense. Don't send them a wedding present.
Well, I... Oh, Angela, we were talking about you.
Angela, my dear, do you know anything about pigs?
Yes, I do. You're one.
Me?
Yes, you. Aunt Constance says that if I marry Jimmy, you won't let me have my money.
Money? Money? What money? You haven't lent me any money.
Clarence, I believe this absent-mindedness of yours is just a ridiculous pose. You know perfectly well that when poor Jane died, she left you Angela's trustee.
And I can't touch my money without your consent till I'm 25.
How old are you now?
21.
Then what are you worrying about? My dear, no need to worry for another 4 years.
Clarence, I have told Angela that while we naturally cannot force her to marry Lord Heacham, we can at least keep her money from being squandered by this wastrel on whom she proposes to throw herself away.
He is not a wastrel. He's got quite enough money to marry me on, but he needs some capital to buy a partnership.
He is a wastrel. Wasn't he sent abroad because he...
That was 2 years ago, and since
my
then...
My dear Angela, you may argue until...
I'm not arguing. I'm simply saying that I'm going to marry Jimmy if we both have to starve in the gutter.
What gutter?
Oh, any gutter.
Now, please listen to me, Angela. Clarence, you must go. Clarence, this is as much your business as mine.
But not as much as it's my business. Oh, Uncle Clarence has gone. I'm going now.
Hello, old girl. Still off your feed? We worry about you. We do, honestly. What could we give you?
You know the agricultural show is next Wednesday week, and you've got to get that medal for fatness again that you got last year. If you don't buck up and feed again, old girl, it'll be nothing better than an honourable mention. Ah, Keacham, good to see you.
I say, I've just ridden over to see if there's anything I can do about this fearful business.
I'm uncommon kind and thoughtful of you, my dear fellow. I fear things look very black.
An absolute mystery to me. I mean, she was all right last week.
She was all right as late as the day before yesterday.
And then this happens. Out of a blue sky, you might say.
Exactly. We don't know what to do. We've done everything to tempt our appetite.
Appetite? Is Angela ill?
Angela? No, I fancy not. She seemed perfectly well a few minutes ago.
Oh, you've seen her this morning, then? Did you say anything about this fearful business?
No, she was talking about some money.
It's all so dashed unexpected.
Yes. Such a thing has never happened before. I fear the worst. According to the Wolf Lehman feeding standards, a pig, if in health, should consume daily nourishment, amounting to 57,800 calories. These to consist of proteins, 4 pounds, 5 ounces, carbohydrates, 25 pounds...
You know, what's all this got to do with Angela?
Angela?
I came to find out why Angela has broken off our engagement.
Ah, yes, of course, Angela. I believe it's because she's fallen in love with someone else. Yes, now I recollect that. I knew there was some satisfactory explanation. Tell me, my dear fellow, what are your views about linseed meal?
What do you mean, linseed meal?
Why, linseed meal is a food for pigs.
Oh, curse all pigs.
What? What did you say?
I said curse all pigs. Keep talking about pigs. I'm not interested in pigs. I don't want to discuss pigs. Blast and damn every pig in existence.
Well,
goodbye.
Fancy hearing a Shropshire landowner speak like that. Thank heaven he's not going to marry into our family.
Clarence, are you listening? I've had enough of this nonsense of Angela and young Belford. You must catch the 2 o'clock train to London.
What? Why? In this lovely weather, and with the Empress refusing her food?
You must see this man, Belford, and tell him that if Angela marries him, she will not have a penny of her money for 4 years. I'll be greatly surprised if, when he hears that, he doesn't change his mind.
Don't see why the fellow shouldn't marry her.
Angela? Marry James Belford?
I don't see why not. Seems fond of him and all that.
You never have had a grain of sense, Clarence. Angela is going to marry Lord Heacham.
Can't stand that, young man. All wrong about pigs.
Clarence, I don't want to discuss it further. You will go to London, you will see Mr. Belford, and you will tell him about Angela's money. Is that clear?
Oh, all right. You must telephone me if there's any change in the Empress. I shall spend the night at the club.
Your guest has arrived, my lord. A Mr. James Belford.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jenkins. Will you bring him in?
Very good, my lord.
Now, over lunch, I've got to blight the happiness of 2 young people I've always liked. Fine young fellow, young Belford was. Open air, healthy. Distribution of money all wrong. Heacham, who despises pigs, has a rent roll of 10,000 more a year. And this deserving youngster, Belford, has nothing. Perhaps I should keep the bad news for him till after lunch. A little more of this claret, my dear fellow.
Thank you, sir.
Allow me, my lord.
The gardens at Blandings are looking their best at this time of year. My head gardener, Angus McAllister, is all wrong about lilies and hollyhocks, but there is no denying he understands about roses. The rose garden...
I remember that rose garden well, sir. Hmm? It was there that Angela and I used to meet on summer mornings.
This spring, both McAllister and I adopted a very strong policy with the slugs and plant lice, with the result that in June the rose garden became a mass of flowering damasks and bourbon queens.
Properly, to appreciate roses, you want to see them as a setting for a girl like Angela, with her fair hair gleaming against the green leaves.
No doubt. I'm glad you like my rose garden. Of course, we have the natural advantage of loamy soil, rich in plant food and humus. But loamy soil is not enough. You must have manure, a liberal mulch of stable manure on the beds in autumn.
Angela tells me you have forbidden our marriage.
Well, now that you mention it, I believe some informal decision of that nature was arrived at. You see, my dear fellow, my sister Constance feels very strongly...
I see. I suppose she thinks I'm a sort of prodigal.
No, no, my dear fellow, she never said that. Wastrel was the word she used.
Well, perhaps I was a bit that way when I started in business. That was before I went to America. But you can take it from me that when you find yourself on a farm in Nebraska, employed by a patriarch who drinks Applejack with every meal and between meals, who has strong views about hard work and a good vocabulary, you soon develop a certain liveliness.
Are you employed on a farm?
I was employed on a farm.
Pigs?
Pigs, yes, among other things.
Then perhaps, my dear fellow, you can give me some advice. For the last 2 days, my prize sow, Empress of Blandings, has declined all nourishment. And the agricultural show is next Wednesday week. I am distracted with anxiety.
What does your pig man say about it?
My pig man went to prison 2 days ago. You don't think that can have anything to do with it, do you? You think that may be the cause of the animal's lack of appetite?
Certainly. I imagine she's missing him. She probably misses his afternoon call.
His call?
He must have had some special call that he used when he wanted her to come to her trough. One of the first things you learn on an American farm is hog calling.
Hog calling?
Pigs are temperamental. Omit to call them, and they'll starve rather than put on a nose bag. Call them right, and they'll follow you to the ends of the earth, their mouths watering.
Fancy that. God bless my soul.
Fact, I assure you, these calls vary in different parts of America. In Wisconsin, the words boig, boig, boig bring home, in both senses, the bacon. In Illinois, I believe they call burp, 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 while in Iowa, the phrase goose, goose, goose is preferred. In Minnesota, it's either piga, 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 or oink, oink, oink. And in Milwaukee, where there are so many people of German descent, you'll hear the old Teuton, komm Schweiner, komm Schweiner, komm Schweiner.
Oh, bless my soul.
And there are various local devices, beating a tin can with an axe, rattling pebbles in a suitcase. I knew a man out in Nebraska who used to call his pigs by tapping the edge of the trough with his wooden leg.
Did he indeed? But if there is a wide variety, how are we to know what well-beloved is?
Ah, but wait, I haven't told you all. There is a master word. I had it straight from Fred Patzel, the hog-calling champion of the Western States. What a man! I've known him to bring pork chops leaping from their plates.
Now you're joking. I don't like that.
No, honestly, sir. But this master word... the pig world is like the Masonic grip. Call oink, oink in Illinois or burp, burp in Minnesota, and the animal merely raises its eyebrows and stares coldly. But go to either state, any state, and call pig oink.
Is that the master word of which you spoke?
That's it.
Pig
oink.
Pig oink.
Not quite right. The first syllable should be short and staccato, the second long and rising into falsetto, high but true. Pig hooey!
Try it. Make it strong.
Pig hooey!
More body to the hoo.
Pig hooey. Just remember that. Pig hooey. God bless my soul, look at the time. I must say goodbye now, my dear fellow. Order yourself coffee and brandy and anything else you like. I must catch the 2:40 out of Paddington. Goodbye, goodbye.
Shrewsbury! Shrewsbury! Next stop, Margaret Blandings.
Oh, God bless my soul, I've been asleep. Now, what was it that young man said about calling pigs? Oink? No. Pee? No, no. That was a master call. Oh, dash it. It's gone out of my mind. Oh, dash it.
Thank you, Beach. You can leave us.
Very good, my lady.
Really, Clarence, from what you say of your meeting with James Belford today, you seem to have made an outstanding idiot of yourself. You needn't have invited him to lunch. But then to leave him without telling him that Angela would not have her money for 4 years if they married, the act of a congenital imbecile. Clarence, are you listening?
Pig. I know it started with pig. I can't remember.
Clarence, I'm talking to you.
I can't just stay here. I feel stifled. I'm going out round the back. Pig. No, confound it. Angela? Is that you, Angela?
Yes.
I didn't see you at dinner.
Oh, I didn't want any dinner. The food would have choked me. I can't eat.
It's just the same with the Empress. Young Belford says...
Oh, have you seen Jimmy? What did he say?
That's just what I can't remember. It began with the word pig.
Oh, I bet you weren't listening. Oh, you've got a very annoying habit, Uncle Clarence, of switching your mind off and just going blah when people are talking to you. It gets you very much disliked on all sides. Did Jimmy say anything about me?
So listen to that modern music coming from the servants' hall. I can't understand it. Now, the Merry Widow, that sort of thing. You can't waltz to this.
Did Jimmy say anything about me?
I fancy so. Yes, I'm sure he did.
Oh, then what?
I can't remember.
Oh, really, Uncle Clarence, you are the frozen limit. You're behaving like a bohunkus.
A what?
A bohunkus, Jimmy tells me, is a very inferior type of worm.
Oh. Well, I wish you'd go in, my dear. The night air may well give you a chill.
I won't go in. I came out here to look at the moon and think about Jimmy. Come to that. What are you doing out here, Uncle Clarence?
I came out here to think. I'm much exercised about my pig, Empress of Blandings. For 2 days she has refused her food, and young Belford says she will not eat until she hears the proper call or cry. He very kindly taught it to me, but unfortunately I fell asleep in the train and have forgotten it.
I wonder that you had the nerve to ask Jimmy to teach you pig calls, considering the way you're treating him.
But,
like a leper or something. All I can say is that if you remember this call of his, and it makes the Empress eat, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you still refuse to let me marry Jimmy.
My dear, if through young Belford's instrumentality the Empress is induced to take nourishment again, there is nothing I will refuse him. Nothing.
Oh, Honor Bright?
I give you my solemn word.
You won't let Aunt Constance bully you out of it?
Certainly not. I'm always ready to listen to your Aunt Constance's views, but there are certain matters on which I claim the right to act according to my own judgment. It began with the word pig. Who? That's it! Who? Pig who? Pig hooey! Pig hooey! Pig hooey! Pig.
Who's making that noise?
Beach, come out here at once.
Very good, my lord. Yes, my lord.
Beach, listen to this.
Very good, my lord.
Pig hooey!
Yes, my lord.
Now you do it.
I know.
Yes, it's the way you call pigs.
But I do not call pigs, my lord.
What do you want Beach to do it for?
Because if we both learn it and I forget it again, we still have it.
Oh, by Jove, yes. Come on, Beach. Inflate the lungs and let it rip.
I would merely advance the suggestion, my lord, that we move further from the vicinity of the servants' hall. If I were overheard by any of the lower domestics, it would weaken my position as a disciplinary force.
What chumps we are. The place to do it is outside the Empress's sty. Then if it works, we shall see it working.
Angela, my dear, you are a very intelligent girl. Where you get your brain from, I don't know. Not from my side of the family.
Off we go. Let's try it out. The sty's not far. Come on.
Here we are. Look, her trough's still full. She's in there, hiding behind that curtain of sacking. Now.
Pig hooey!
There she is, coming out. She's heard us once again. Now,
pig hooey!
I might have known it. That young scoundrel was deceiving me. He was playing a joke on me.
Oh, he wasn't. Was he, Beach?
Not knowing the circumstances, I cannot say, miss.
Then why hasn't it worked?
You can't expect it to work right away. We've got her stirred up and out of her bedroom, haven't we? She's thinking it over. Once more we'll do the trick, ready, Beach?
Quite ready, miss.
Now, one, two, three, pig.
Pig.
Community singing?
Oh, oh, Jimmy, darling.
Hello, Angela. Hello, Lord Emsworth. Hello, Beach.
Good evening, sir. Happy to see you once more.
Thanks. I'm spending a few days at the vicarage with my father. I got down here by the 5-5.
Young man, what do you mean by telling me my pig would respond to that cry? She's done nothing of the kind.
You can't have done it right.
We did it precisely as you instructed us.
Oh, was that the cry I heard as I came across the fields? You've got it all wrong. Begin the who in a low minor of 2 quarter notes in 4-4 time. Build gradually to a higher note until the voice is soaring in full crescendo, reaching F-sharp in the natural scale and dwelling for 2 ritando half notes, then breaking into a shower of accidental grace notes.
Oh, bless my soul, I should never be able to do all that.
Oh, Jimmy will do it for you, Uncle Clarence. Now that he's engaged to me, he'll be one of the family and always popping about here. He can do it every day till the agricultural show is over and your pig man comes out of jug.
I think that would be the wisest plan. I doubt if an amateur can ever produce real results. You need a voice that has been trained on the open prairies, competing sometimes with tornadoes. A manly, sunburnt, wind-scorched voice. Listen. Pig who?
Working. It's working. The Empress is feeding.
Oh, Jimmy, my darling. My wonder man.
Angela, old girl.
Empress. Beach, it has worked. She's feeding again.
Very good, my lord.
In that episode of Blandings, Pig Hooey, Lord Emsworth was Richard Vernon, Beach Lockwood West, and Lady Constance Margot Boyd. Nigel Anthony was the narrator, the pigman, and Lord Heacham. Peter Tuddenham, the chairman of the magistrates, and Mr. Smithers. Dinah Martin was Angela, and Edward Duke, James Belford. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Pig Hooey by P.G. Woodhouse was adapted for radio by Richard Usborne and produced by Bobby Jay.
You have another chance to hear that episode on Monday evening at 6:30. Next week at the same time, Freddie Threepwood has a smashing wheeze for getting his lovesick friend Rupert and his cousin Gertrude together at Blandings Castle. Lord Emsworth is, of course, the victim in Company for Gertrude by P.G. Woodhouse, our next episode of Blandings.